We want to, I know we, some people might say, well, what that preacher just preaches all the time about sin. Well, that may be the case. The question is, when he's preaching about sin, is he for it or against it? That's the question. We have to preach about sin. Because sin, as we have said in the past, is the one thing in all the world that has the power to keep us out of heaven. So if there's anything that a preacher ought to preach about, if he could only preach on one subject, he better preach about sin. One of the reasons that the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus was to reprove the world of sin. And that was also the goal of preaching the gospel. We share the good news, but in order to do that, part of that gospel is teaching people that they need to repent of their sin. And so we've got to spend some time looking at sin occasionally, and maybe some might think, well, we spend too much time on it. But I'm afraid that in many cases we don't spend enough time on it. We've talked about how we need to hate the things that God hates. We need to hate sin with a passion, not just be something that we allow into our life. And we need to get an idea of what sin is really like. So this morning, we're going to make a comparison. Sin is like a kidney stone. Some of you have probably experienced one of those little kidney stones. They're not very pleasant. I guess you could say that this is going to be less of a sermon and more of a parable. You know, Jesus told parables where he told an earthly story with earthly things to get across a spiritual message. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. We're going to look at the way a kidney stone affects a physical body and compare that then to the spiritual way that sin affects us spiritually. We read in James chapter 1 a while ago, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." You know, that sounds a lot like the way a disease of some kind would work in your body, doesn't it? The virus or bacteria or whatever first has to be there, and then that makes you sick. And then that sickness, if it's not treated, leads to death, doesn't it? In a lot of those cases. I guess in every case, if you don't get better, then you get worse and eventually there's death. But, of course, there are, God has built into the human body all sorts of things like the immune system. And if we get rest and eat the proper things, some of those things our body can fight off on its own. Some of them become so severe that we need medication, that we have to go to the doctor. We may have to get a shot, or we may have to take some pills, or we may have to have something to breathe in, some sort of medicine, or severe things like cancer. There's radiation treatments and chemotherapy and all of these kinds of things that are out there to try to help us fight off these diseases. Well, a kidney stone's not exactly a disease, is it? A kidney stone, in essence, starts when you just get too much calcium into your bloodstream, and then it gets into the kidneys, and as the kidneys filter that calcium out, for some reason you're getting so much calcium there that it starts to build on itself, and it starts to make a little stone of sorts. It's not exactly a disease. I mean, calcium is something we need. Calcium is something that's good for us. Our bones, our teeth, we need calcium. And yet that can still be the thing that causes the trouble. And sometimes that's the case with sin too. Sometimes our relationships, sometimes the excess desires that we have, we may have a desire that's a perfectly natural desire, like wanting to eat, or some people may with a sexual desire, and that they're natural desires, God created us with them, but we don't control them, they get out of hand, and they can bring us into sin. But sometimes it's because there is a problem with the body. that the body is actually losing calcium from the bones and things, and that's getting into the bloodstream and going to the kidneys. And so the kidney stone may sometimes be a hint to the doctor or to the person that there's something more severe going on there, that there's a problem, that there may be some osteoporosis or some bone loss going on. But sin also is that way, because sometimes sin is a result of a problem in the heart that just starts to eat away at us from the inside. But let's look at a few things quickly this morning. We're going to have to do it quickly. We're almost out of time already. Sin is like a kidney stone. And first of all, we want to see that a little one can cause much pain. And if you've ever had one, I haven't had a kidney stone. I've seen other people suffer with them. So far, because I just haven't had one yet. And I'm not complaining. I'm glad I hadn't had one. But I've seen the result. And sometimes that little stone, when it's finally passed, that thing is not any bigger than a grain of sand. And you think, how could that thing have caused so much pain and nausea? And just, I've seen people, they'll roll on the floor in pain. But that little bitty thing, how could that little bitty... And sometimes we think the same way about sin. We think, well, it's just a little sin. It's not going to hurt anybody or anything. We've got to understand, a little bitty sin can cause much pain, just like that little bitty kidney stone. Can you imagine David up on his rooftop, looking over into Bathsheba's yard? Well, one little look, it can't hurt anything, can it? Just a little look. How many people who have been unfaithful to their mates started with just a little flirt with somebody at the office? Just a little innocent remark about, oh, you're looking pretty today. And then it led on to further discussion, not to say that we shouldn't compliment people, but sometimes those things can lead places. And sometimes a little lie that, oh, that won't hurt anybody, can lead to all kinds of pain and suffering. Even what we consider, and it's our consideration, because we saw last week that God hates lying. It's an abomination to Him. It's listed twice in the list of seven things that God hates. He lists lying two times. The lips that tell lies and the false witness. So he lists two times those that are telling lies. He said, hey, that's how much he hated it. And yet we talk about, well, it's just a little white lie. It's just a little lie. It won't hurt anybody. In fact, some surveys that have been done have indicated that on average, people in the United States lie in up to 30% of the conversations that they have. That means one out of every three conversations that they have during the day, they're lying about something in that conversation. So, well, not me. I don't lie like that. That may be one right there. We sometimes think we're honest more so than we really are. Because sometimes we'll say, well, yeah, I know that wasn't exactly true, but I didn't want to hurt her feelings, or I didn't want him to... So I just painted it a little prettier than it really was. And we do those kind of things. Those little things, but they can cause a lot of pain later on. So sin, like a kidney stone, a little one can cause much pain. And then secondly, we see that the pain may go away, but the problem remains. Now here's the thing about kidney stones. Sometimes it'll get into a position there in the tract that it quits hurting. Somebody says, oh, it's gone, I'm better. But it may still be there. And later on, something may happen, cause that thing to move, and you realize it's not gone. Thought it was gone, but it's still there. The problem is still there, even though the pain may disappear for a while. And sin works the same way. You know, sometimes when we commit a sin, we suffer some pain as a result of it. But after a while, the pain goes away. Now, that pain may be in the form of a guilty conscience, or that pain may be actually physical pain, or it may be emotional pain, or it may be the pain of someone that we hurt deciding they don't want to be around us while we're hurting them. And so it may cause us some pain. And it may cause some others some pain. After a while, that may kind of go away. You've probably had times like that where you kind of forget about, oh, well, yeah, I know I've sinned, but I don't worry about that anymore. I probably did something sometime back there, but it doesn't bother me anymore. But what we've got to realize is that if we haven't been forgiven of that sin, even though the pain itself may have gone away, the guilt of the sin remains until we're forgiven of it. If we've wronged someone, you take Zacchaeus, for example. He said, hey, if I have cheated anyone, now some people say that he had, we don't necessarily know that from the text, but he said, if I have cheated anyone, if I have overcharged anybody, I will give them back four times what I have taken if I've charged them too much. You see, he had that attitude of repentance. The pain may have already been gone. Maybe when he was a young tax collector, and it may have been 20 years ago that he may have overcharged somebody a few denarii. Probably hurt his conscience that first time. That kind of hurts to that, but that's okay. I needed the money. But after 20 years, you think he still didn't bother him anymore? That's the way sin works. It eventually kind of dulls our senses to the, and we don't feel the pain so much anymore, but the problem of the sin is still there. And we sometimes even get to the point where we've accepted the sin, and we kind of like to have it around. Not so with a kidney stone. Most folks don't want to keep a kidney stone. Why is it that we would become that way with sin, but not with... We get to where we... We just hang on to that sin? That's not right. We need to get it out of there. Get rid of it. Third, we see that like a kidney stone, it can do a lot of damage. It can do a lot of damage. You know, often there's something that's very often one of the tests that they run to see if you have a kidney stone is to see if there's blood in the urine. Well, where does blood come from? Blood comes from... there's a cut or an injury of some kind. I mean, you don't generally just bleed for the fun of it. You bleed because there's some sort of injury, some damage has been done. More than that, a kidney stone can also cause a kidney infection and eventually could even become life-threatening. It can do a lot of damage. And sin's the same way. It can do a lot of damage. Some of that damage can never be repaired. I think about Saul of Tarsus, who had stood there and held the coat while the men stoned Stephen. And I think about how he had taken men and women and thrown them in prison. Acts chapter 4 tells how, chapter 8 rather, tells how he was wreaking havoc with the church. Now he later on, we know, was converted to Christ. We studied that last week. And he became a Christian. He became an apostle. He wrote half of the books in the New Testament. But he could never undo the damage that he did to those lives before he became a Christian. He could never take away the fact that those people had to go to prison, or that they were tortured, or that Stephen was stoned to death. He can never take that away. And the same thing with a lot of the sins that we commit. The damage that we do can never be undone. We can be forgiven for it. We can even repair relationships with people. But we can never undo the damage that we did. And that's a good reason for us to keep sin out of our lives. And then fourth, we see that it can be painful to get out. Passing a kidney stone, sometimes to some, it's more painful to pass the thing than it was to just leave it alone. No, it's okay. Don't bother. It hurts too bad to get it out. And we're certainly that way with sin in our lives sometimes, because it takes sacrifice, not only the sacrifice of Christ that He had to give in order for us to have the opportunity to be forgiven, but it takes a sacrifice on our part, a willingness to give up things that are controlling us. Ron mentioned the Fireproof movie in class this morning, and in that movie, the young man had a serious problem with, he was obsessed with a boat, and he was also addicted to internet pornography. And in one scene where he finally decided he'd had enough, he was going to make the sacrifice, he took his computer out and beat it with a baseball bat and busted it up to get it out of his life. Well, that hurts. Now, that was probably a pretty expensive piece of equipment that he spent. And at the same time, he gave up the idea of having that boat so that he could spend that money to help his family, because it was a very expensive boat, and he decided to use that for his family instead. And we need to realize that in order to do what's right, sometimes it takes sacrifice that hurts. Now, I'm not saying we ought to go take baseball bats to things, but sometimes there may be something in your life that needs a baseball bat taken to it. You've got something in your life that is controlling you, and you're allowing it to influence you, and you're allowing it to control who you are and what you do from day to day. Things got to get out of your life. Paul said it. He said, I will not be brought under the power of anything. He's going to be under the power of God. He's not going to allow anything in this world to control him. And we've got to have that kind of an attitude. That means getting the sin out. And that means sometimes that it's going to hurt, because we're going to have to be embarrassed sometimes. We're going to have to be brave enough and courageous enough to go to someone and confess that we've wronged them. We're going to have to give up something that we've become accustomed to, and it's going to make us uncomfortable. We're going to have to get out of our comfort zone to do that. The good news is, once it's gone, the relief is fantastic. Now, yeah, it hurts to get it out, but once it's gone, once it's out of your life, you can take a deep breath and you can sigh, and it's just the relief, knowing that that's not hurting me anymore. The same thing, whether it's a kidney stone or whether it's sin. Once it's out of your life, it's going to make a difference to your life. You're going to be able to enjoy your life again. You're not going to have to suffer the pain and the anguish of that thing. And then number six, the sad thing is, there's a chance of another one. You know, it'd be nice if somebody said, well, I had a kidney stone, never going to have another one. I don't have to worry about that anymore. It'd be nice if we'd say, well, you know, I sinned, but got done with that, never going to happen again. It doesn't work that way, though. Just like you might get another kidney stone, and some people have recurring problems with kidney stones. Same thing with sin. There's always a chance that you may fall into sin again. And, of course, once you do, we go back through those same steps again. That it, even if it's little, it'll cause pain. And even if the pain goes away, the problem of the sin's still there. And it can do a lot of damage to you. And it can be painful to get it out. But if you do, you'll have that sense of relief again. We can do that. Every time and any time that sin gets into our life, we can remember that and go through it and go through the pain to get it out. the seventh thing that we see is that anyone can get one. You know, there is no shot that you can get that will make you immune to kidney stones. There is no diet that you can follow that will guarantee that you'll never get a kidney stone. There is nothing you can do that will just guarantee, hey, this is never going to happen to you. It's not, you know, kidney stones don't just follow, you know, there are certain diseases that are prominent among certain races of people or among certain ethnic groups. That's not the case with kidney stones. Anybody can get a kidney stone. It doesn't care. And sin's the same way. Anyone. In fact, I might say everyone can get sin in their life and will at some point or another get sin in their life. Because of that, we need to have a love for one another and a compassion for one another. When someone's in sin, we need to be reaching out to them because we've been there. We know what it's like. Those of you who have had kidney stones, if somebody comes up to you and says, oh, I got this kidney stone, you say, oh, I know how hard that must be. I've been through that. I know what it's like to go through something like that. Well, when someone's in sin, can we have that same kind of compassion on them and say, you know what? I know what it's like to struggle with sin. We should be able to, because all of us have gone through it. All of us have had sin in our life at one time or another. Some of us may still have sin in our life. If so, we need to go back to we talk about. We got to find a way to get it out of there. Can't just keep it in there because it's doing damage as long as it's in there. But anyone can get one. And then the eighth thing that we see is it must be dealt with by a professional. Yeah, you get a kidney stone, you go to the doctor, and sometimes they can give you some medication, one that may ease the pain, another that may help you pass the stone, and some other things to help you to do that. One to control your nausea, and things like that sometimes too. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to sin in our lives. We need a professional. We can't get it out by ourselves. We can't just make sure that it goes away. We can't do so many good things that it outweighs the bad and so the bad doesn't matter anymore. When we've got sin in our lives, we're going to have to go to a professional. And I'm not talking about a priest or a reverend or somebody. What I'm talking about is we've got to go to Jesus. Because Jesus is the great physician who can actually remove the stain of sin from our lives. That's a powerful professional, because no one else that lives or ever has lived on this earth can do what he can do. You know, we go to specialists sometimes. Somebody says, well, you know, there's only 10 doctors in the whole United States who treat this particular condition. Let me tell you something. There's only one doctor in the world that treats sin, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the professional, and we need to go to him. We sing the invitation song. We need to examine our lives to see whether there's sin in our life that we need to get rid of. If so, we need to come to Jesus. Because as the song that we're about to sing says, there is power in that blood. The blood of Christ is the only thing that cleanses us from sin. We need to respond to that offer. You know, it seems ridiculous to think. Can you imagine? And I don't know, maybe some people have. Maybe some people do. You have a kidney stone and it's hurting, but you say, you know what, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm just going to handle it myself. I'm going to just put up with it until it goes away. Not a good decision. Because it won't go away by itself. It needs to be taken care of. It needs to be gotten rid of. In the same way with sin in our lives. But so many people say, I'm going to take care of it myself. I don't need anybody else. I don't need the church. I don't need Jesus. I'm going to take care of this myself. my problem, and just stay out of it. Not a good decision. Because there is no one who can take care of their own problem with sin. God is the only one who has that power through the blood of Jesus to remove that sin from your life. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.